Okay, let's begin. This week is Parshas Re'eh, and it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Eloh. It's supposed to faint. It was supposed to faint last week. And what do they say about different Gedolei Yisrael in the previous generations when they would say Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh Eloh Yihyeh B'Yoyim so-and-so, they would faint. The Pachad of the Yoyim Hadin. So Kol Shekein this week, it's Mamish Parshas. It's Mamish Rosh Chodesh Eloh. Certainly we have to faint when it comes to come Shabbos. But anyway, before we faint, let's learn a few things. First of all, something very, very light. This week's parasha, it's not a light matter, but being that we learned this in the Daf Yomi not so long ago, it ties very well into this week's parasha, or vice versa. What it says in the parasha ties well into the Daf Yomi. I'm not exactly sure which way is the correct way to express that idea, but we have here the mitzvah of tzedakah. Person should give tzedakah, and when it comes to tzedakah, the pasuk uses a very nice expression, pasfayach tiftach es yadocha. You shall open up your hand wide and give to the poor and do not withhold. Let's see if I can find the pasuk. Before we go further, Pasoyach tiftach es yadcha lefich laniyacha. Let's see. Levyoncha. Ki yihye v'cho evyoin mi'achad achecha bi'achad sharech bi'atcha asher Hashem kech nosin loch lo sa'amitz es levavcha v'lo sikpitz es yodcho mi'achicha laho evyoin ki fo soyach tiftach es yodcho lo. You shall open up your hand wide to him v'aveit ha'avitenu, and you shall bless him, you shall unload blessing upon him, good things upon him, day machsero, what he's missing, asher yasel loke. So just very, very quick short word to give it. We learned in the Gemara not long ago, when a person comes to the Beis HaKnesses, you should come in a double Pesach, Shnei Pesachim. When you daven in the Beis HaKnesses, enter the Beis HaKnesses a double dosage of entry, Shnei Pesachim. What does that mean? So there are hundreds of Pirushim. Literally, everyone likes to discuss this interpretation. It simply means don't sit by the door. I think the simplest interpretation, maybe Rashi says that, because it looks like you can't wait to get out. So after you walk in the door, you walk in the threshold, the Pesach, walk another Dalet Amos, walk another, sit at least one row behind the back row, don't sit in the doorway, so it should not look like you can't wait to get out. That's one. Another very nice drush is that when you come into the Beis HaKnesses, when you come to the Beis HaKnesses, the first thing you have to do is forget about the outside world. That's one Pesach. But then you have to come close, you have to elevate yourself, sanctify yourself, you have to go in an additional entry to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One Pesach is Sur Meirah, another Pesach is Aseh Tov. That's another very popular approach to the double Pesach. But here is a little nice little Jewish. When you come to davening, what's the Ikur of davening? You can summarize the whole davening to a certain degree in the pasuk Nashrei, Poseach es yodecha, you beg Hashem to that Hashem should open up his hand, umaspia l'chol chai rotzon. You ask Hashem, please open up your hand and satisfy every living creature with what they need, what they want, to give them will to live with rotzon, all beautiful interpretations of what the pasuk means, to give them will to live, to go on, and to accomplish, Poseach es yodecha. But before you could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to open up his hand, this is what we just learned in the Shaya, you have to take the initiative. You have to open up your hand. You have to be posoyach tiftach es yodcha. A person has to give tzedakah. A person has to be gracious. He has to be kind. Help other people. Either give them what they need, mamon, clothing, food, an ear to listen to give them some chizik, some encouragement. Only then can we expect the Kaddish Baruch Hu to reciprocate, and he will open up his hand and satisfy us with Ratzon, like we just learned in Yeshaya. This is exactly what we learned. The whole parak of that parak of Yeshaya, parak Nun Ches.
So, double door.
Exactly. So when you come to Beis HaKnesses, there's a double Pesach. You first open up your hand, and then Hashem will reciprocate. Hashem will open up. We poseach es yodecha maspia l'chol chai Ratzon. Okay, nice little vart, ties nicely into the Daf Yomi this week, this pious pasuk, plus what we just learned in Yeshaya, all three come together. Yeah.
When you give the stuff, give with both hands, that's what Pusella.
Double expression. Right. There's a lot of Torah in that. Havet, Havitenu, all of the expressions where Hashem tells us to do things to the poor, it's always written double. double hand. One hand is a yad. Two hands together is koyach. Yad is yudal 14. 2 times 14 is koyach. So when you give a double hand, give it with all of your might, all of your koyach. Put everything you got into giving. Taking, you only take with one hand. Giving, give everything you got. Okay. What? No, it's a drush. When you come to the Beis HaKnesses, you have to come through two openings. What is the Beis HaKnesses? It's a dual relationship. It's not a one way. A Beis HaKnesses, when you come to shul, don't come to take. You have to understand that before you can take, you have to have an attitude of giving. You have to give, and then you can ask Hashem that He should give you back in return. Okay, let's go to another idea. And this is Parsha, the Parsha. This is an idea which is very close to heart. I cherish this idea very much. I've said this, I've discussed this, not necessarily here, but I want to share with you here because a new idea came to me yesterday when I was preparing. In the beginning of the Parsha, you have to remember this pasuk. It's a very important pasuk. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, v'havesem shama, oiloi seichem, you'll bring there in Eretz Yisrael your burnt offerings, v'zivchechem, your shlamim, your sacrifices, v'eis masro seichem, and ma'iser rishoyin, v'eis trumas yedchem. And you will deliver there the truma of your hand. So if you would not look in the... What? This is in Perik Yud Beis pasuk Vav. It's towards the beginning of the parasha. In fact, it's before Sheni. It's the beginning of the parasha. And you'll bring there in Eretz Yisrael the Trumas Yedchem. What does the Targum say? Targum says, Targum says what Rashi says. Very good. But what would if you would not look in Targum, or you would not look in Rashi, what would you say? You would say refers to Truma. You give the Kohen a Truma. You have to give the Kohen a Truma. Minatar is a Mashu. You can give the Kohen even one little teeny kernel of grain. But L'chatchilo, you give the Kohen approximately 1/50. If you're very generous, 1/40. If you're not so generous, 1/60. Truma, right? That's what you give. You come to Eretz Yisrael. Who do you meet? You meet the Kohanim. Kohanim do not have any land. They do not own karka. So who they live off? They live off tzedakah, pretty much. And everyone has an obligation to support the Kohanim by giving them truma, what to live on. But that's not what Rashi says. Now what Chazal say? Rashi is quoting Chazal, there is Trumas Yetchem, because if it really refers to Truma, it would not say the word Yetchem. It would say the Ace Truma, or Trumascha. The word Yetchem is superfluous. And this triggers a very curious analysis by Chazal, what are we really referring to? So the Gemara says, I'm quoting from the quoting, I'll read the Rashi. Rashi is quoting from the Gemara. The Gemara says, what is Trumas Yetchem? Let me find the Rashi. Elu habikurim shenema. Why? How did Chazal know that? Because the word of Yetchem shenema. When it says about bikurim, v'loka hakohen hatene, the basket miyodecha. So yud gimel midos shatar nedrashes. We link up miyodecha, miyodecha, Yetchem, miyodecha. Therefore, this is a code. We now know that the Pshuta Shel Mikra does not refer to the gift you give the Kohanim. It refers to Bikurim, the first fruits. First fruits are also given to the Kohanim, but the laws of Bikurim are very different than the laws of Truma. Truma have inherent sanctity. Bikurim have a much lesser degree of sanctity. Bikurim are not, there's no Tevel by Bikurim. If you don't give the Bikurim, it's not Tevel, the Peros. So we're not going to the laws of Mishnah Bikurim now, but you know that the laws of Bikurim are very different than the laws of Truma. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. It's a whole different ballgame. And how do we know they're referring to Truma? Because Yetchem. What's Yetchem? The law kachakoyin attendem yodechem. What does the coin do? What does it say there in Rashi? And he waves. He waves in all six directions. Up, down. What? Up, down, and four sides. Now, let's go to the beginning this week where we're now holding Daf Yud, what's today? Daf Tezayin is today, right? Tezayin. So we're only a little bit more than 2 weeks into the Daf Yomi. What's the first Mishnah? First Mishnah, Emasai Kor Shema B'Yaris. Mishnah, when do you say Krishna? When do you listen? Mishnah, Shakahan Mechlesim Le'echol B'Trimasas. How does the Olam, how does the Vel tie to B'Trimasas? Truma. A coin is Tomei. A kohen is not allowed to eat truma until he does two things. He goes to mikvah and he has Harav Shemesh. So when the time when the sun sets, the stars come out, that's the time, the earliest time a kohen who was telling him what to mikvah can begin to eat his truma, because kohen eats truma, that's when you can begin to say Kriyashma. Okay. But if you look, I saw this once. I saw a whole shtickle Torah. I saw this in the Daf al Adaf. There's more to it. I don't know the details. But there are many kashas. There are many kashas on the Mishnah. I'm not prepared to go through all the kashas now. One little ha'ara. Why does it say Mishah Shacham Nichnasim Leechol Bitru Masan? It should say Mishah Shacham Nichnasim Leechol Bitru Ma. What's the possessive? Bitruma's son, their truma. Let the pasuk say, "B'shosh nachem nechnas nachol bitruma, the truma." That's one kash. There's another whole collection of kashes. To answer all the kashes, which I'm not even telling you, I just told you this one little teeny tidbit, is whoever told you, whoever brainwashed you when you went to cheder, sat in cheder. Now, when it says truma, refers to the gift that the kohen and the yisraelim give the kohen, the truma, the real truma. Maybe when it says truma in the first mishnah and shas, referring to bikurim, mishah shakohen nichnasim leechol bitch. Now, why would that answer the kohen? Because according to some, not all, you have to be medayik. Bikurim is mamon ba'olam. When you give truma to a kohen, it's his property. It's his mamon. He can use it to be mekadesh shen isha. He can sanctify a woman with it. It's his property. If you give a kohen truma, it's not his. Mishulchan gavoa kazoch. He's eating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a machloek. It's not so simple. But let's work that approach. One thing is certain: the kohen has more ownership in bikurim than he has in regular truma. And since we just learned here in this parash Asra A, that's what we're doing over here. That's why I'm telling you this, because the Eis Trumas Yetchem, and this pasuk we learned that Trumas Yetchem refers to Bikurim. When it says in the Torah the word Shuma does not always necessarily mean Shuma, sometimes it means Bikurim, like it says Trumas Yetchem. So when it says in the first Mishnah, in the Masech de Brachos, it means Truma.
Is there enough Kamin?
And so there are nafkaminas. That's the other kashas. Because I'll tell you where all the kashas start from. All the kashas start from, if the Zman Kriya Shema has arrived, what in the world is the kohen eating truma? The kohen himself has to say Kriya Shema. It's a very good kasha. When do you say Kriya Shema ba'arvis? Mishosha kohanim nechnasim lechol b'tshumasan. When the kohanim eat truma, the sun went to make for the sun, the stars come out. If the stars have come out, what are you sitting down to have a meal? You're not allowed to have a meal. You're not allowed to have a meal. You, the kohen yourself, should be saying truma. Should be saying kriya shema. Okay, so this part of this intro, when you say the with the kurim, I don't remember the details. The answers. There's a pilpul. There's a very big pilpul in this, which is not our discussion now. But I just want to. But you don't need the pilpul. You don't need the pilpul. I just want to show you. Look what it says here in the word truma. Truma. The Torah does not always mean truma. Truma sometimes means bikurim. Memela, when you go to the first mishnah, maybe it means bikurim. Now, why am I so happy? Why am I so thrilled? So there are a lot of things we can talk about. This first, I'll tell you a very nice part is that Shavuos. It's called in the Torah, not in this week's parasha, but it's called the Yom HaBikurim. What is the Gemara's? What is the Gemara's first kash? The first kash of Shas. Why is the Mishnah beating around the bush? When do you say Kriya Shema? You say Kriya Shema when the Kohanim eat Truma. When do they eat Truma? We got to go figure out. They go to Mikvah, wait till the sun sets. Oh, when the stars come out. So just tell me, do you know when the Kohanim eat Truma? When the stars come, when you say Kriya Shema? You say Kriya Shema when the stars come. What this whole back? So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Milsa agavurcha kabasha. We want to teach you other side chidushim. The kasha is much better than the answer. What are you giving all these roundabout ways? But you know what the answer really is? Because we want to begin, you're learning Shas. You're learning Torah Shabbal Peh. Where did Torah Shabbal Peh come from? It came from Matan Torah. And what is Matan Torah called? Uviyoyim HaBikurim. So Menela, we want to begin Shas, Kriyashma, the first mitzvah of the day. Torah? We want to attach Torah to its Shoresh, in Zman. When was Torah given? Torah was given on Shavuos. And what is Torah? How does the Torah refer to the Yom Tov of Zman Matan Torah Seinu? Uviyom Habikurim. So that's why the Mishnah goes in this roundabout way. When is the earliest time you can begin? Since we're starting Shas, you're beginning Haschol of Talmud Torah. When is the earliest time you're going to learn? You're going to recite Kriya from the Mekabel Malchus Shemayim. We want it connected to something relating to the Shemesh of Torah. Torah was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. When? Uviyoyim HaBikurim. It's a beautiful idea. It opens up a whole new world. But the reason why I want to share this with you now is because how do we know the word Truma refers to Bikurim? Because it says Trumas Yetchem. What is Yetchem? V'lokachta HaKoyen HaTenem Miyodecha. And what does he do? What does Rashi there say in Parshas Kisava? What does he do when he takes the tenen miyodecha? Umeinif. He waves up, down, back, forth, like a lulav, all four directions. Why? To be makir. Why do you wave? So okay, you'll tell me Kabbalistic in Yanim. The winds, the shadim, the kechas. Forget about all the Kabbalah. Let's talk Pashup Shat. Hashem is all over the place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Baracha, HaBikurim, Hashem is wherever. It's not Koichi V'yotzim Yadi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. Up, down, here, there, like you tell children, the Mogin David, the six sides, all over the place. Hashem is all over the place. Kriya Shema, we learned yesterday, 2 days daf. What do you do when you say Kriya Shema? You put your hands on your eyes, and you mechaven Echad. And what does the Gemara say? You should be Marich in the letter Dalet. And the letter Ches has a point, goes up. You should be think by the letter Dal Hashem is up, down, Dalid, all four sides. When you makabel all Malchus Shemayim with Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, Hashem's Shechina, Hashem's presence is everywhere. Miloi Chol Haaretz Kevoida, everywhere. Where do you learn that from? Where else do we find the concept of Hashem is all over the place? What is Truma? Truma is Bikurim. How do you know it's Bikurim? Trumas Yotcha. What's Trumas Yotcha? When you bring the Bikurim to the Kohanim, when you gave this Bikurim to the Kohanim, which the Kohanim is going to eat when it comes nighttime, what did he do? What's your Shaychus? He touched you. He put his hands underneath your hands. He made contact with you and he taught you. What did he teach you? Up, down, here, there, right, left, front, back. The Kohen taught you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech, Meloi Chol Haaretz Kevodo, in all six directions. So now you, when you say Kriya Shema, do it like you learned from the Kohen. Be Mekabel, O Malchus Shemaim Echad, like we learned in the Gemara, the Ches is up and down, and the Dalet is all four corners, it's all over the world. It's beautiful. Beautiful why the Mishnah went out of its way. Bedafka, now the answer is better than the question. Not the question, what are you going this roundabout way? When you say Kriya Shema, this funny time when the Kohanim eat their Truma. You know why we're doing this? Because we want to connect you. Who taught you? It's also a part of Mesorah. When you learn Torah, when you Mekabel Malchus Shemayim, what is Torah? Torah is Mesorah. You've received a tradition from someone. Someone has taught you. There's a Rebbe. Who's the Rebbe to teach you Mekabel Malchus Shemayim? It's the Kohanim. Because the Kohanim taught you how to be Menef in all six directions, and that's what you're doing when you Mekabel Malchus Shemayim. Yeah?
Simple question. I know the Truma of Kohanim cannot eat it. It has a high level of Kedusha. Kurim also, you're not allowed to eat Patama?
Yes, you're not allowed to. Absolutely not. As Kedusha, you're not allowed to eat Bikurim until you matar yourself. 100%. 100%. Now, otherwise, the whole thing wouldn't make sense. This whole var wouldn't make any sense. 100%. 100%. It's a given. Absolutely. Bikurim as Kedusha, he has to be instead of Tahara to eat the Bikurim. 100%.
If the Kohen is
Tameh,
touch the
Teremais when you meet Tameh? Yes. Then when it comes to Truma, if the Kohen eats Truma when that's Tameh, he's Tameh. But not Bikurim, it could be there's no Misav De Shemayim by Truma. Truma is different. But it's not allowed to. Truma, that's Bikurim, that's Tameh, I believe there's no Chiyuv Misa B'dei Shemayim, not mistaken. Real Truma, there's no punishment, but it's Osir. still aser. He must be in a state of tahara before he's allowed to eat the bikurim. That's a given. Guy learned mishnayis m'sachta m'sachta bikurim. You have to look. What? Because the ches is lamala, the point, the point of Zion, they connect.
They connect.
Yeah, Zion.
So what's the down? What's the earth? The Gemara says.
According to us,
this is a very powerful idea to connect these together. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, now this idea is a double idea. Okay, first let me tell you about Gereshuraf. Then after Gereshuraf, we go into something and go a spin-off, which is a little bit deeper. A little bit different. Okay, let me first find the pasuk. We have the pasuk of a person who wants to eat besar taiva. What's besar taiva? It used to be in ancient times, not ancient time, Bisban Shabbos Hamidash Kayam, the only time you really should be permitted to eat meat is a korban. If you have a desire to eat meat, so you go to the Beis HaMikdash and you bring a korban shlamim and you bring the blood and the fats and you give a gift to the kohanim, their parts, the zera lechem mekeva, and the meat is sacred because it's a holy animal. It's korban shlamim, it's a sacred animal. So when the Baalim, the owner of the animal, eats the meat, invites his family to eat the meat, you're eating meat that is sacred, right? That's the ideal. A person wants to eat meat, ideally he should only eat meat that is sacred. The way one makes meat sacred is you bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, you slaughter it as a carbon and you eat the meat. Problem is, let's say, ki yirchak mimcha hamakayim. You don't live in Yerushalayim. You live in Tel Aviv. And there's a lot of traffic. And you want to eat meat for dinner. You're not going to be able to go and travel every single night, every single day, to go every once in a while, to go from Tel Aviv, or to go from the north, the south, I'm not a bucky, a little place there. It's so, you're not going to be able to go every single day to the Beis HaMikdash and to go bring the carbon. So how? So the Torah says, you know what, I'll tell you what. You know what? We'll make exceptions. Ki yirichak mimcho ha-mokoyim, if it's too far. Asher yivcha asher lelekech l'shlosum shmo shom v'zovachlas, and you want to eat meat? This is Pasuk Chof Aleph, Perek Yud Beis. Pasuk Chof Aleph. So it's too far. So asher yivcha asher lelekech l'shlosum shmo shom v'zovachlas, and b'korach v'tzoyin chasun. Alright, so you can eat chulin. Mesech to chulin. You don't have to have a carbon. So you'll slaughter from your baka, from your tzon, Hashem nasan, Hashem l'cha kasher, tzivitzich, v'yachal te b'sharecha, you know, gizun to hate, do whatever you want. B'chol alas nafshech, ach! Then the pasuk goes on, but be very careful. Kasher ye'ochel es hatzvi v'es huayol, kein tochlenu. The pasuk goes on to say, ach, ach means a meat. I'm going to be very lenient. I'm going to allow you to eat it even in a state of tumah. What do we mean in the state of tumah? Because it's what is a tzvi nayol? These are chayos. A tzvi is a deer. Well, and it's not what a tzvi. It's not so clear what a tzvi is, but let's make believe it's a deer for now. An ayol is a heart. We really don't know. We don't know with any definitive certainty what anything is. No ayol. No, that's ayil. That's an ayil. That's a behemoth. There's an ayil and an ayol. It's a Torah, the same letters, that's not for now. But the ayol is a wild animal, a hart. Okay, whatever, it's not. What?
It's a deer, a
hart
is a deer.
Okay, it's a four from the deer family. What exactly it is? These are chayos. Ach kasher yochel es atzvi es hayol kein tochlenu. So it says over here that when you eat it, you can eat, if you're eating, let's say eating a sheep. So look at this, a sheep, really. Ideally, if you were living next door, if you were living in the old city, you would definitely eat the sheep like as a carbon. That's what you would have done. If you were living in the old city, so you would take your sheep and you would go down a couple of steps, go to this, and you would bring the sheep as a carbon, and you would eat, and you shalayim, you would take, bring home to your family, holy meat. But I have now a sheep, a shepsula, and I'm living in Tel Aviv, and I'm not going to your shalayim to bring the sheep to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so good, so don't. Take the sheep, slaughter it, and eat it, in Tel Aviv. Eat your sheep in Tel Aviv. And you know what? You can eat the sheep the same way you would have eaten a tzvi in Ayol. What do you mean that tzvi? If you would have had a tzvi in Ayol, in Yerushalayim, would you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash?
No.
Certainly not. You're not allowed to. There's no such thing. So now when you eat the sheep, which is something which you normally would bring to the Beis HaMikdash, you can eat outside the Beis HaMikdash, and you can eat it with the same rules. Meaning, the Pasuk explains, what does that mean? Hatomei v'hatohar yachdav yochlenu. Whether you're tamei, whether you're tar, even if you're eating it together. Okay, there are a lot of halachas in this Pasuk, which is not the purpose of our discussion, which you can be exactly what the Pasuk means. But the Pasuk over here says that you can eat it like a tzvi and an ayol. Okay, so now that's the simple, like a very simple translation of the Pasuk. So the Reish Rav has a drash. The Reish Rav has a drash. What is the Pasuk coming and telling us over here, Dafka? The a tzvi and ayol. So there's a medrash. The medrash says that a tzvi, a deer, whenever the deer runs, it's always looking backwards. That's the nature of a deer. It runs very quickly, but it turns its head back to see what's doing. What?
His enemies.
Behind, to see what's doing behind it. An ayol never looks back. An ayol is always looking ahead. Never looking back. Pasuk here says a tamei and a tahar. So the Reish Rav says the tamei homo is a drush. It's a drush with a capital D by Yachlorat. Okay. A tamei refers here to. I'm saying this because I want to lead into something else. So this is just a lead in. Tamei refers to a person who is a chote, a sinner. Everyone's about tshuva, right? Someone was a Rashid, and he said to him, he was talking to a certain person. The person thought that the Rashid thought that he was about tshuva. So he told the Rashid, you know, I'm not about tshuva. I'm from birth. I'm an FFB, I'm not a BT, I'm an FFB. So the Rashid said to him, not about tshuva? Why not? Why not? Everyone has to be about tshuva. So the Tamei here refers to a person that does not have such a good past. He has skeletons in the closet. He's tummy. Tahar means a tzaddik, an FFB, no skeletons in the closet. He's good from birth. So see, here we have Tirat Pasuk telling, giving you Musar. The Musar is that when you eat, when you live your life, so we match up the tummy to the aisle. It could be. I'm not discussing the right pasuk, but let's keep it with anyway. The Reish Rav says is that we match up the tamei to the ayol. The person who has skeletons in the closet, when he goes forth, just be like the ayol. The pasuk here says that see the ayol and there's a tamei and a tar. So it's telling us to match one with the other. Match up the ayol with the tamei. The person who's a sinner, he has to be like the ayol. Forget about the past. Don't look backwards. Don't get depressed and look back at the past. Just turn over a new leaf, a new page. Go weiter. Be like the ayol. The tzaddik, Meikaro, has great satisfaction from his maisim tovim, from his chesed and staka and his good deeds in the past. He should build on the past. He should be the tohar, the one that has good things to look back on. He should look back at the past as an inspiration to go forward. So that's the nature of the tzvi. The tzvi is running very quickly. The tzvi goes very quick. It goes weiter, but it's always looking back. Because the tzvi is getting inspiration from how far it traveled to go further. So the tohar, or the pasuk here tells us these two animals, is telling us, and then it tells us tamei v'tar. So besides the pshuta shel mikra, telling us that when you eat yeshapsala, you can eat it outside your shlaim in the state of tumah, the tar v'tar yachtav, but there's a little bit of a drush here also. The little bit of a drush is that the tar and the tamei refer to the balshuva and the tzaddik meikaroi, and it's seen that yellow refers to looking back and going forward. So the tahar should go and forget about the past. The tahar should be inspired by his past to go further, and the tamei should forget about the past, just be like the yellow and go right. Okay, that's one of halachah. The reason why
he may have ghosts and skeletons in his closet.
No, but that's what we're saying. No.
I'm saying he's looking back to see if anyone.
That's not the drush. That's a lowercase d. That's with the lowercase d.
I like the judge. I would rather go to Yachta that they should go. Yeah. the Torah should influence the Torah.
There has to be unity. Achdus. Yeah. You have to. Everyone has to learn from each other. Okay, this is like that. Now the reason why. I said it was because I want to build upon that. Now here's how. Here's where we go. In this week's parsha. Okay, this is that they want to. Here we go. In this week's parsha, there is an awesome, incredible Baal HaTunim. There are many Baal HaTunim. There's a Baal HaTunim I want to focus on. In before we come to the Moadim in this week's parsha, we have 10 animals. It gives us all the kosher animals, the non-kosher animals, kosher birds, non-kosher birds, fish, insects. We have a whole long list of what you're allowed to eat, what you can't eat. This week, this parsha, the parsha for the restaurants. What? Towards the end of, let's say, Perek Yudalit. Go to Perek Yudalit, Pasek Gimel. Lo yistoichal kol toeva. Zoy sabihema Pasek Dalit. Perek Yudalit, Pasek Dalit. Zoy sabihema asher toichelu. 10 animals. Count the animals. Shor, ox. Then we have Sei Chisovim, sheep. The Sei Izim, Sei is a generic term which refers to sheep or goats. It's a very big Kiddush, Sei in the Torah. Sei Chisovim, Sei Izim, that's already three. Ox, the ox family, which a Shor is a mature ox. A baby is called an Egel, but the Shor family. Generic term for all types of oxen, babies and adults. A Shor, they're all the same. A shor, a para, an egel, they're all part of the same animal category. Then there is sheep, sei chisavim, okay, that's two. Next, sei izim, goats, three. Finish with the domesticated. Finish, that's it, those are domesticated. Now we have seven chayos, seven wild animals. We don't even have kosher. We really don't even know what they are. That's the truth. We do not know with any definitive name for what these animals are. They are the ayol. It's number one. Tzvi is number two. Yachmur, whatever that is. Ako, dishon, useo, and vozone. Some tell you Zomer is a giraffe. Mm-hmm. Sure. What? Tzvi is not. No, it's not clear what a tzvi is. Tzvi, there's a big tumult. What is a tzvi? We think it's a deer. It's translated in the article as a deer. Even the article will tell you in the notes that's just popular translation for the word tzvi, but it's not an accurate, definitive... No, so it's not, no, because there are problems. If you study all the makaras, what it's tzvi is... It's from the same family. The pictures don't mean anything. It's complicated, right? You have to go look in the... I don't know the details, but look at the experts... Ask the experts, they'll tell you. Even the orange school will tell you, it's not so clear. They'll translate as deer because that's how the world translates it, but we don't really know anything. And what's a zomer? A zomer, a giraffe? Some tie a zomer to be a giraffe.
Not sure yet.
What? Not so simple, not so simple at all. Slifkin. Slifkin has the book on mysterious creatures.
Zomer's not so simple.
So, good, fine. There are 10 animals. The Baal HaTurim says, incredible chiddush, that the 10 animals correspond to the Aseres HaDibros. Unbelievable. So you match up. He doesn't tell us to do the math, but there are 10 animals, and 10 animals match the Aseres HaDibros. Unbelievable. So we can do the math and we can do it ourselves. So the first, just lose a little bit. The first, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. What's the first animal? Well, first of all, the first three, we break up the Aseres HaDibros into two groups, five and five. Mm-hmm. That's not so simple. It's really three and four, or three, four, and three, if I got order. The first three are purely Ben Odom Lamokha. Purely. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yelecha Elohim Achim Alponai, and Lo Sis Hashem Hashem Lashav. The first three are purely Ben Odom Lamokha. The next three are and Zohar is Yom HaShabbos. Oh wait, what comes first? First comes Shabbos, important. First comes Shabbos. Then Kabed. And then we come to Sirtzach. Those three are really both. Bein Odom LaMokom and Bein Odom LaChavero. And the next were purely Bein Odom LaChavero. Okay, but that's not for now. That's not the point. But we brainwash into the Ten Commandments. They're not really Ten Commandments. They're more than Ten Commandments. They're Ten Statements. There are 10 statements. There are many more than 10 commandments in the 10 statements. And then you can, then if you want to break them into tablets, so there's 2 and 2, there's 5 and 5. But if you look very carefully at the Torah, the Aseret Dibros, they really, there's 3, 3, and 4. But that's not for now. What? For whatever reason, they broke up onto 2 tablets. Okay, that's not. But the point, right now, it's very, because of here you have 3 behemoths and 7 chayos. The 3 behemoths correspond to the 3 that have been Adam. This is one example. When Bnei Yisrael, they made Avodah Zarah. They wanted to replace the Ribbono Shel Olam. What did they say? Eila Elohecha Yisrael. This is, right, that's what they said. Eila, this is your God. And what do they make? A shor. An eagle. An eagle is the shor. What's the first of the Aseret Dibros? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Eila Hashem. And what's the first of the 10 animals? A shor. So you do see that there is some connection between a shor. Kelo yilech Elohim Achem al Panai is not. It's also perfect. It fits perfectly. What did Bnei Yisrael do in the? What did they do in the Mitzrayim? What did they shecht Sukkot and Pesach? They took a sheep. The sheep was what? The Avodah Zarah of Egypt. Right. And what did they do? They slaughtered it. They rejected idolatry. The Avodah Zarah. What is the second of the Aseret Dibros? Lo yihye lecha Elohim acher malpanai. And what is the second of the animals? The seh, the sheep. What is also good for a Korban Pesach? A goat. A goat is also good. And that's really the third of the Odom Lamakom is Lo sisa shem Hashem Elokecha l'Hashem. It's also what we give the sanctity of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The first three of the Aseret Dibros, you have to work on. Okay, I'm not going to lead to all them. You work on it. I want to work on 2. I want to work on Kibud Av V'Aim and Shabbos. What's number 4 and 5 in the Aseret Dibros? See, my old shul, you saw the Aseret Dibros, and I saw Shir in front of me, and I was facing the Aron. Tavion, so I never had to memorize the Aseret Dibros. Because when I said my Shir, I was looking at the Aron, and Tavion was the Aseret Dibros. So every time I want to talk about Aseret Dibros, I could just read right in front of me. Here, I'm facing the wrong direction, and they don't have the Aseret Dibros anyway. So now I have to learn how to memorize the Aseret Dibros. But what is number 4? 4 is Shabbos. What's number 5? Kibud Av V'Aim. What is number 4 in the Torah? Let me just go back. We begin to start the Ayol. So Ayol corresponds to what? To Shabbos. And what is number 5? Kibud Av V'Aim. Tzvi. What did we just learn from the Reish Rav in the previous Jewish? Which was just the Jewish, we quoted Medrash. What's the chilek between the Ayol and the Tzvi? The Ayol doesn't look back. Go weiter. What is the Tzvi? You're looking back. Let's start with Kibud Av V'Aim. What is Kibud Av V'Aim? They came before you. Your parents, believe it or not, they came into this world before us. They're compared to the Tzvi. The Tzvi, when you go weiter in life, you gotta look back. You gotta look back. Yichus. You gotta look back. You gotta look back at your parents, where you come from, what they've given you, what they've done for you, how far they've brought you. That's Kibud Av V'Aim. What is Shabbos? Now Shabbos, the Shabbos Bereishis. We're going to discuss the Shabbos Bereishis and the Shabbos Matan Torah. But for now, okay, this is Jewish with a capital D. Okay, so we're not, you know, not holding down for anything. But I have many rayas. The Ikar Shabbos, the Shabbos of La'asalava. The Shabbos Bereishis, Shabbos Matan Torah. Okay, we discussed this once. We're not going into details. Is that we're coming? The whole purpose of this world is to come to an olam hatikon, me'ein olam haba. There are 6 days in the week. They correspond to the 6,000, the 6th millennium. We come to the 7th millennium. Is the olam hatikon of the world that we achieves? We're working sheish es yomim tavod. We're working through 6,000 years. We are sisukum kol malachtecha to come to that tafkid of a yom hashvi Shabbos Hashem Elokecha. To reach a point in time where we will be perfect, we will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shleimuso, in completeness. So, you go, Shabbos is to go weiter. You go, you're going to day 7, you're going towards the tikkun of Olam Haba. That's where we're working to. We're working to get there. Now we can understand Sha'an the Pasuk. The Pasuk over here says, let's go back to Ki Boser Taiva. Now, what is that? A little bit of a drush. I'm not telling you, not everything here works out perfectly. What does that mean? That all the darshanim, they say, if a person is in a hamokah, means Hashem. Right? Baruch hamokah in baruch hu. Sometimes a person feels Hashem is distant. Hashem is far away. Hashem, you don't sense the Shechina. Hashem is not close to us because we have sinned. We're in galus. I'm not sure I'm quoting the right. There's another pasuk that really fits in better. This drush fits in better, but I don't remember where the pasuk is. But anyway, but the point I want to make is that in galus, when you're in a state of galus and you travel. It's a code. When you live in this world, when you live in Galus, and you want to accomplish every mission, every function that you do in your life has to be done with the tzvi and the ayol. The tzvi and the ayol are code words for Kibud Avoim and for Shabbos. A person always has to keep it uppermost in his mind the two dibros of Shabbos and Kibud Avoim. In other words, you have to go forward in life. You have to strive for perfection, for Shleimus na Avodas Hashem. But you must go forward built on the traditions of the past, on Kibud Avoim. So when you want to eat, you want to eat means, what does eating mean? Eating means accomplishment, satisfaction. When you eat, you're satisfying yourself. There's no, the ultimate satisfaction in life is not to eat. Eating is just a metaphor for satisfaction. If you want to find in life satisfaction by accomplishing something, make sure that your satisfaction is built on a foundation of the theme of the tzvi and the ayol. Make sure that whatever you do to bring satisfaction, it's all for the purpose of giving kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come lidei Shabbos, to come to a point where you will achieve perfection in your service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Shabbos. You're going forward in that fashion to perfect yourself. Build upon what your parents, the tzvi, code word for kibud avoim, of what you have been given from your predecessors, from your parents. You have to go forward, accomplish, satisfy yourself with the tzvi and the ayol. You hear the words?
The only problem,
yes.
Family is daiti. I must have missed something. Is that out the shot? Tzvi and ayol.
Yeah.
So tzvi is the fourth.
No, the pasuk is ayol first. The order of the ten, the order of the ten in the Aseres, in the order, I know sometimes it says in the different orders, but in the order of the animals, Ayol Utsvi V'Yachmar. First. Going in sequence. The first is the Shah. The first two, you can't argue with me. The first two are perfect. That is solid. The Shah, Eila Lekecha Yisrael. The Seh Avodah Zarah. Those are solid. Okay. Those are solid. That's already Eidos. So now we go, we just skip over to number four and number five. Yes, yes. Ayol Utsiv Yachmar. So now we come to Shabbos. Shabbos is the Ayol. Kibud Avoim is the Tzvi. So now we have code words. So every time it says in the Torah these two words, it's a code. Keep in mind Kibud Avoim, keep in mind the theme of Shabbos. Satisfy yourself, have a good meal, eat, enjoy. But make sure you know where you're going. You make sure it's all for the purpose of Kavod Shemayim, Shabbos LaHashem. And make sure that this Shabbos LaHashem is not Nayach Yidushim, new religion. It's all built on the Yesodos of the past. All right?
Hard to call that Basar Taiva.
Basar, the desire to accomplish.
A desire
to accomplish. Okay, so this is our drush for today. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a good Chodesh. Yeah. Capital Dalit.
Yeah.